The Summer Olympics opening ceremony is today in Tokyo. It's a year late, and yet somehow right on time. For many of us, the Summer Olympics is a quadrennial moment when we can let our inner dilettante really shine. Miraculous overnight experts on the decathlon, swimming, and beach volleyball. Now add to that BMX freestyle.
You know, I think it's going to help our sport grow and get more riders, you know, get more people to see that we are a sport and that, you know, doing flips on bikes is cool.
This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. After a year and a half of pandemic, the gathering of nations seems particularly poignant. Even as the coronavirus continues to devastate around the world, many Olympic athletes have already tested positive for COVID-19, despite being vaccinated. But these young athletes, at the height of their talent and training, will still meet, albeit before a crowd of no one.
Right now, nobody really knows exactly how this is going to affect, you know, our sport. We all are hoping and stuff that it's in a positive way. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of positives about, you know, the Olympics. But for me right now, I'm just looking at it like another contest. And I'm just going to go and have fun with my friends and just try to do my best no matter what. So
today, we're going to meet one Olympian, Hannah Roberts of Buchanan, Michigan, who's one of Team USA's hopefuls for a gold medal, and who's helping introduce her sport, BMX freestyle, to the Olympics for the first time. I wanted to ask a little bit about what you've been doing to get ready. I mean, back in February 2020, which was what, like 10 years ago now?
Yeah, it feels like it.
You qualified for the Olympics? How did you manage to stay motivated through all this time to get your head in the right place for where you want to be in Tokyo?
Well, luckily, I had actually moved down to North Carolina just for training reasons in the summer of 2019, right after I graduated high school. And, you know, when it came to qualifying and everything, I was up with my family and I was just visiting for a week or so. And that's when it got announced. So it was really cool that I was able to spend it with them. But I knew from then that I wanted to start working and getting, you know, everything set because, you know, that I thought that I only had a few months. But when it got postponed, it was mentally hard. But I'm grateful that in North Carolina, I had a phenomenal group of athletes to work with. And, you know, I think there was 8 of us and we were all either trying to be at the Olympics, like trying to compete for our respected countries at the Olympics or Olympic bound. So, it was good. We made, you know, a strict, kind of quarantine within ourselves. Like we couldn't go into public at all. No grocery
right.
stores, no anything, which obviously we all respected and we wanted to keep each other and ourselves safe. So it was between going home and going to the skate park. And that's what we did every day for 3 months. And luckily I had, you know, an amazing group of riders and athletes and support down here to keep me motivated. But, you know, after quarantine, when you're doing the same thing with the same people every single day, all day for 3 months, it gets pretty exhausting. So, you know, I lean more towards my wife now to kind of help me out of a little bit of a depression that I fell into just because I was training all the time. And yeah, it was just the support, and that's how I got through last year. It was a rough year, and I don't think I would have made it through or made it out the same if I didn't have, you know, the athletes that I had, my family behind me, and of course my wife next to me through every step of it. So
yeah, I heard you got married this year. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, the first of the year.
I know the crowd situation is going to be very different in Tokyo than usual. Is Kelsey going to be allowed to go over and watch?
No, there's absolutely no foreign spectators, and I think that Japan just declared another state of emergency, so I don't even think that there's going to be Japanese fans there anymore.
Oh, geez. I imagine just not having the crowd there is probably a different psychological consideration for you, too.
Yeah, it's, you know, when there's a crowd there, they're usually the ones that get you, like, hyped up. And, you know, the cheering, it just gets your adrenaline pumping and stuff. And obviously, the other athletes and the other teams, we're all friends. And, you know, we all respect each other. We want nothing but the best for each other. So, obviously, they'll be cheering and they'll be, you know, there to support. But it's different when there's other eyes on you. And, yeah, it's more of a – you have to motivate yourself kind of thing. So yeah, it's a little bit weird, but I guess it's the new normal for right now, and we're just gonna have to do what we gotta do and, you know, do our best.
Yeah. For those who've never partaken or who haven't watched the X Games or something, freestyle is a sport in which riders get two runs. They're about a minute long each, and they're showing skills and doing tricks, and you get scored for creativity, of course, but also for things like execution and height. What do you think sets freestyle apart from some of the other BMX events?
You know, BMX racing is an amazing event. Obviously, it's a strength and speed event. Like, you know, you have, it's basically eight riders drop at the exact same time, and whoever gets there fastest, whoever has the best technique to get through the course, is usually who wins. But for our sport, you know, it's one rider on the course for a full 60 seconds, and it's a way for you to show yourself on your bike. Like, nobody's style is the exact same. You won't see riders that do the exact same things every single hit, just because, you know, it's a variety. It's a diversity between, you know, what you like to do and what you want to do. So, you know, our sport is just, there's just so many more options, and the creative level is a whole nother thing, because you could just go and, you know, ride the entire course, do whatever you want, and then you know that the person behind you isn't going to do exactly what you did. So it's always super fun to watch, and it's super interesting to see like people's take on a course or people's take on a certain trick and stuff.
So you have a cousin, Brett Benesiewicz, who's a pretty well-known BMX rider. And you know, there were any number of ways you could have entered the sport. How did you kind of find your place in freestyle and develop what is now like your defining, you know, the things that define you on the bike?
You know, I got into BMX just watching a contest on TV, excuse me. And, yeah, I kind of fell in love with it. I had my dad, you know, give me a bike and, you know, we went to try it out. Brett built the skate park that I grew up riding. And, you know, he was gone a lot traveling, but when he was in town, if I needed help, you know, I'd ask. And if not, then I would just be there hours on end working on a random trick until I landed it, and just never really gave up. I've seen him, you know, struggle on a trick for multiple hours and then finally land it. And, you know, it was something that really taught me, like, you know, if I really want something, I can do it no matter what. I just have to actually put in the time. So watching him and other riders that just kept up and never really took no for an answer, that was kind of what helped me get to where I am.
When we get back from a quick break, Hannah tells us about the traumatic event that pulled her away from soccer and pushed her ever more toward BMX. We'll be back in a minute.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
You started out thinking you were going to go all in on soccer. How old were you when you decided to, you know, that maybe that wasn't it, that maybe it was riding?
I actually played soccer for a lot of my childhood. I was a goalie and I loved it. But I, when I broke my back when I was 10, it kind of took out all other sports besides BMX. Everything was just, you know, too painful. Either, you know, running or falling, or when I played football, getting tackled, everything was just too much for my back. So it took me out of a lot of sports, and unfortunately kind of crushed the soccer dream a little bit, but you know, I loved BMX at that point. I was all in. When I got back on my bike, I knew that's where I wanted to be, and that's where like what I was drawn to the most. So, you know, it worked out good in the end, but soccer ended when I was 10.
You know, it's not unusual to find people competing who had big crack ups in their past that they had to get past, but I can't think of any off the top of my head who have that kind of story where they literally had to switch gears and then became world renowned because of it. I mean, did it seem to you at the time like it was the end of the world?
When I fell and I spent like 2 or 3 days or something in the hospital, I didn't know if I ever wanted to touch a bike again. It was hard for me. Well, I knew exactly what I did wrong when I fell. But like just hearing the injuries, I was the youngest person at the hospital, that have had those injuries. So they had to send me to a children's hospital 3 hours away. And I had to talk to the specialists, and, you know, they were debating on whether to do surgery or not. Luckily, they didn't. So, but it was scary. It was my first big injury. I hadn't even, like, broken a hand or anything before that. That was, like, my first injury was a broken back and a broken neck. So, yeah, I didn't actually know if I wanted to ride again. I didn't actually know if I wanted to, you know, play sports again. And It took me a little bit to gain my confidence back. And when I was in the hospital, there was pros at a Dew Tour event, and they called me, you know, all wished me well and told me that I'd be back to 100% in no time. And, you know, I was like, if they believe in me, then I need to believe in myself. And, you know, at 10 years old, it's hard to realize that. And once I got back on my bike and I started feeling comfortable and kind of like secure that it was just like an off day and it was just not a one-time injury, because it could happen again, but it was just, you know, a mistake that I made, and I know that not to make it again. Like, once I figured that out, I was like, this is who I was meant to be. And this, I'm going to put everything I have into the sport. And, you know, from 10 years old, I knew that that's how it was going to be. I actually, you know, I love this sport, and it's part of me now. So,
yeah. When you think about your childhood, I mean, obviously Brett was a big influence in being able to ride at his park, but was there anything else in Buchanan, Michigan that really made you see a place for yourself, you know, as a girl in this sport that wasn't even an Olympic event at that point? And I kind of feel like at the age you were riding, I don't know if the professional path was as clear.
No, I mean, there wasn't too many. When I started riding, there wasn't too many girls. There were actually, I don't think there was any girls that were riding full time. They were going to maybe one or two events a year. They were riding for maybe one or two companies, but wasn't making any kind of money to make it a full time thing. I know a lot of them had, you know, other jobs or were going to school for a certain thing and then going into the work field after that. So I didn't even know if it was possible to make it a full-time career. There was no companies necessarily looking for women's riders. I just knew that I loved it. And, you know, in my head, I was like, well, if I ride good enough and if I can hold my own against the guys, then there's absolutely no way they can deny me, you know, a spot on the team. Luckily, you know, I had my dad who never lost faith in me. And even on my hard days, he pushed me. And, you know, my childhood wasn't like anything else. I had to miss a lot of school for either training or competitions or stuff like that. I didn't really get to hang out with my friends too much, but and luckily, you know, throughout my entire journey, my town Buchanan has just been so supportive and you know, whatever I needed, especially when I was in school, like extra tutoring or if I was going to be gone for a while, I'd get all my stuff early. My teachers never gave me any hassle, and you know, the principals never gave me any hassle. They all understood, and they all seen my dream. So, you know, without them, I don't think I'd be in the position I am today.
I haven't been there yet. I moved here a little before the pandemic, but Buchanan sounds like an amazing place in that the town could support you on this journey, but also support a young gay woman making her way in the sports world.
you know, one of the main things that we say in the town is small town, big hearts. And, you know, it is very much like that. I mean, it's a very small town. A lot of people, you know, everybody knows everybody basically. And, they have some of the biggest hearts, and it's such an amazing community to be a part of. I'm so grateful that I got to grow up there and spend my childhood there and, you know, really realize what true friendship and true compassion for others is.
Yeah. Hannah, just one more thing before you go. Obviously the situation in Tokyo is going to be high stakes. And the public health situation there is a little bit concerning, and everyone is just really waiting to see what's going to happen with the games. I mean, what do you hope will happen in Tokyo?
I know that the IOC is going to do whatever they can to ensure the health and the safety of all the athletes and all the team members that are going. And yeah, so, you know, that doesn't necessarily worry me too much. You know, I'm just looking forward to hanging out, really. I mean, there's friends from all over the world that I haven't seen in 20 months or a little over that. And, yeah, I'm just excited to go and hang out with my friends and ride my bike. And I just hope that, obviously, that it's a good show and people would just fall in love with the sport, you know.
And that's the Stateside Podcast. I'm April Baer. You can find full Stateside shows to listen to at michiganradio.org. Our executive producer is Laura Weber-Davis, and she produced this episode with Mary Claire Zowell. Our theme music's by 14KT, additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.